Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
How to enjoy the holiday. Now, I wrote something down here that I want to read to you to try to help you get in the same frame of thought that I'm in with regard to it. It says, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is both the happiest times and for some, the saddest of times. It's the happiest for millions of people because it brings a spirit of warmth and love and togetherness and sharing and good memories and a lot of cozy experiences, you know, like chestnuts roasting on an open fire, things along that line. But for others, the season's painful. It's the loneliness of seasons for the lonely. For millions, this bringing of the season makes their pain worse, not better. It makes the ache for what life might have been if the marriage had worked out, or what life might have been if they weren't so sick, or what it might be like if my husband was still alive and my kids were still around me, or if I could be home, or if I had enough money to pay the rent, buy some toys for the kids. It is both the happiest times for some, but also the most saddest of times for the others. The goal of this message tonight is that you would find grace from God to get the most out of the season and to enjoy the season. Number one, make Christ the focus of the season. It's got to be a cliche. He is the reason for the season. That's just something that people say. But by this, I mean literally make Him the focus of your season. Literally make Him the focus. And I'm telling you, if you make Him the focus, and you focus on His birth, and you focus on what all His birth means to you, man, it lifts you up. I don't really observe Christmas Day, but for Christmas, for me, is a season. It's not one day. We had a Christmas dinner, enjoyed that, and fellowship with the people. What kind of dinner? It was a church dinner. I like to go be with my people, eat, fellowship. I enjoyed that. Christmas caroling, church Christmas carols went out, community, and different people that can't get out, and they enjoyed that, and they get to see you out and able to give them some literature and things. That is a blessing to do that. Christmas caroling, that's part of celebration. Who's the focus of that then? It's Christ. It's Christ. Christmas play written by a Baptist preacher in the church, which you can imagine what kind of Christmas play that is. Good play. Good biblical Christmas play. Enjoyed that. And, of course, Christmas Sunday, which is taking God's Word and teaching it. That's what I focus on. All of that is what related? All that's church related. And that's the main things that I focus on in the season. I focus on family things. But it's the things of the Lord that takes what? They take priority. See, the problem is the season's supposed to be about Him. And what happens is He drops down the priority list and all these other things take priority over Him. He must be the focus. For you to really enjoy it, you make Him the focus. 2 Corinthians 8:9 is a passage that we looked at Sunday when we looked at Bethlehem's prophecy. It says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was what? Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. You ever focus on that? Sunday evening, now I enjoyed Sunday morning services, don't get me wrong, but the best service here Sunday, in my opinion, was Sunday evening. Of course, we only had 70 people because it was so bad. But that for me, now you know I enjoyed Sunday morning on Sunday, and I really did, but my most enjoyable service was Sunday evening. Well, Sunday evening I really focused so strongly on this passage. He was rich. He left the splendor of heaven to become poor for our sakes, that we might be made what? Rich. Man, when you really get to looking at that, it raises your what? It raises your focus. See, we get our focus down on all the negatives. There's a lot of negatives that you can probably count, but boy, there's a lot of great positives. And one of the great positives is the riches that you have in Christ Jesus. He made me rich the day that I trusted Him as my Savior. You're looking, standing before you tonight, a rich man. I have eternal life. I constantly have Him abiding with me. All my sins are paid for. I have His righteousness. When you begin to focus on that, it raises you up. Gives you a different look. And when you take this season and focus on His birth in that way, man, it does. It lifts you up. And I worship. It makes me want to sing to Him. You became poor so that I could be rich. Make that your focus. Is that something to celebrate? Man, is that something to sing about? It sure is. But what happens is that gets pushed completely out of the picture. And all of these other things begin to be the focus. The dinner, the wrapping paper, the store, and all these things. And He gets pushed out. And all of these things becomes the focus, and we wonder why we don't enjoy it. What is the key to joy anyway? After you're born again. Does anybody in the house know? What is the key to joy after you're saved? Is it not a close fellowship with Jesus Christ? Is that not what determines joy? Are you not happy if you're close with Christ? Are you not miserable if your fellowship is broken with Him? So if you're going to enjoy it, you need to be close to the King. And you can be close to the King. You can be just as close to the King as you want to be. And if you choose this season to be close to Him and to focus on the riches you have because He was born and lived and died for you, you enjoy it. Make Him the focus of the season. Number two, the first do, make Christ your focus. Now, can I ask you a question? Up to this point here, what is this, the 22nd? I'm the only person in the world probably don't know what day it is. 22nd. What's been your focus up to this point? Now, if you can say, Jeff, my focus has been on Christ now all this season, I guarantee you, you're enjoying it, aren't you? But if your focus has not been Christ and His birth and what His birth means to you, if your focus has been on boxes and bags and all these other types of dinners and all these other type of things, I can guarantee you're not enjoying it as much as the person that is focused on Christ. If you want to enjoy it, do make Christ your focus of the season. We already know that. Is that some type of deep teaching that we all didn't already know? The key is doing it. Literally doing it. And how do you do it? You need to pray for help. Master, help me. Help me to make You the focus of this season. And focus on it. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Open that up Christmas morning, 2 Corinthians 8:9, or Christmas Eve night, and focus on 2 Corinthians 8:9. And think about the riches that you have in Christ and what they're worth. And what they costed. And who purchased them. Number two. Be content with Christ. Now you think about that. Be content with Christ. I think the key to joy is what? We always say the key to joy is Christ. And that is the key to joy. But really the key to joy is being content with Christ. There's people that know Christ, that's made a profession of faith, that don't have no joy. And the reason why they don't have no joy is they have Christ, but they're not content with Christ. Contentment involves several aspects. We need to be content with the position we're in. He wrote in the book of Philippians 4:11, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be what? Now I'm telling you, what I'm preaching now is something that's easy to preach but hard to do what? But you don't get the blessing until you practice it. It concerns the state you're in. It concerns your position you're in. It concerns your possessions. Are you content with your possessions? David wrote in Psalms 23, the Lord is my, I shall not. He was content with the Lord being his shepherd. 1 Timothy 6 says, godliness with contentment is a great gain. What a contentment means? Satisfied. You know why people are not happy? They're not content. They think you should have more. They think they should be in a different situation. They think all these different things. And they're not content. Why did David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? He realized that the shepherd will provide everything to him and lead him in the way that he needed to go. And he was content and at rest. We read this passage Sunday night. Turn to John chapter 6. I want to read it again. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the what? I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never what? Never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, is that talking physically? Absolutely not. It's talking spiritually. Men search for something. They search for peace, contentment, joy, satisfaction, reason to live. They search for all these things. Here it says, when you eat of the bread of life, you'll hunger. It means He quenches your thirst and satisfies your hunger. And can you see that today, you'll see? You know what the problem is? Once people eat of the bread of life, some folks then go to the things of the world to find peace and joy and contentment. Do you see what I mean? There's nothing that satisfies like Christ. There's nothing that fills the hunger of your soul like Christ. There's nothing that satisfies your thirst like Christ. Why do we at this season run to so many other areas to try to find these things when they're found only in the bread of life? Be content with Christ. How many people can say that they are? Well, I'd be content with Christ if what? Be content with Him. Man, He's done great things for you. But He'll provide what you need and He'll lead you in the way that you need to go. And doesn't that give you peace of mind? Many people are unhappy during the season because they're not what? They're not content. Want something else, some different thing, some different position, whatever. That's the second thing. That's the second do. Do be content with Christ. Are you tonight? Are you tonight? Number three. Colossians 3:15 says, be ye thankful. Do you believe tonight that gratitude affects one's attitude, or gratitude affects one's attitude? That's hard to say that real fast. Do you believe that? Do you believe that gratitude affects one's attitude? 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give. We're just not to give thanks at Thanksgiving time. One of the fruit of our lips constantly should we are to be a thankful people. Be ye thankful. Focus on the blessings that you have, not on what you don't have. That's what we do. You focus on the blessings you do have. I remember one time at Christmas, as my boys were little, and I didn't have a lot of money. You talk about feeling sorry for yourself. I was so focused on, I don't got no money. I'm not going to be able to buy all these things this year. Oh, I could last year, but now my job's going and I'm not going to be able to. So you know what I had? I had an old Fred Sanford looking truck. And it was worth, I thought, about $300. And I thought, I'll take that $300. And so I was going to sell my truck. And you know nobody buy it? Now you know I'm backward, believe it. I am backward. And I don't like to ask for nothing, really, to be honest with you. So I started, I thought, well, I'll go up here at Nitro and I'll hit all these used car lots. And somebody will buy this truck. I went to one, I walked in and I felt like it was raining. I walked in and I said, y'all want to buy this truck? That truck? I said, yeah, I'd like to sell my truck. Buddy, no, we don't want to buy a truck. I hit every car lot in Nitro, and I thought, well, I'll go to St. Albans. I went to St. Albans, I hit every car. It's the same thing. And the farther I went, the more depressed I got. Nobody wanted that truck. I went to Charleston. I went down through Charleston with a truck. Finally, I had a guy, and I could tell he felt sorry for me. And he said, buddy, let me go in here and look at me. Nah, I can't give you $300 for that truck. You talk about depressed. Nobody would buy my truck. I didn't have spoke that I can't buy. But what did I still have? Still had eternal life. Still had a home in heaven. Home in the Father's house. Still had all my sins paid for. Still had the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. My name was in the book of life. Does not the Bible say, rejoice because your name is written in heaven? Does not the Bible still have that? You know, I'm still healthy. I can still shift the gears and in the truck and things of that nature. And you know, to be honest with you, I was aggravated coming home. The Lord didn't let me sell that thing. I couldn't understand how He could be so mean to me not to let me sell that $300 truck. You know, the fact of the matter is, 2 weeks later, the Lord provided me a job and I needed that truck to go to work in. You know, He knew that all the time. He knew that all the time. He just let me in on it when I needed to know it, and He wanted me to trust Him until I got there. All God's people say it. And He wants you to do the same thing. But my focus was where at? It was down. It was totally off. All those blessings, all those things. I wasn't thankful. I wasn't grateful. I was sitting on my pity pot. I read a book that says, don't allow yourself to sit on the pity pot too long, and when you get up, be sure to flush. And that's so true. Don't allow yourself to sit there too long. That's what I was doing. So, the third thing to do is be ye what? Thankful. Focus on the riches that Christ has blessed you with. Focus on the blessings that you still have. Psalms chapter 42. Let me go ahead and turn you there and read you this passage. You guys already starting to enjoy the season a little bit better? Look a little bit better than when I come in. Sometimes God's people's got to preach to themselves. Do y'all agree? Sometimes God's people has to preach to themselves. And that's kind of what the psalmist is doing here in Psalms 42. It's, notice what it says in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Why art you disquieted within? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And sometimes I'll do that to myself. I'll catch myself getting cast down and getting discouraged and so on. And then, why am I doing this? Look what all He has done for me and has provided for me. And it raises my focus. Number four, that was three. Make Christ your focus of the season, really. Focus on 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the morning and all during the season. Be content with Christ. Be thankful. Do be those things. Number four, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Now, it didn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. That's what it ought to say, because that's more fitting for us, is it not? We rejoice sometimes. We get the bonus check in the mail and get a new car, and we rejoice in the Lord. But we don't rejoice in the Lord always. I was shocked this past Thanksgiving service. Because when I asked you to write things you was particularly thankful for, and I was shocked at the... I don't know, I guess I expected older people to do this more. But we had several of our college-age kids... college-age young people, write what they was thankful for was their trials. I found that astounding. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. I thank God for my trials and for what God has worked in me through them. I thought that was astounding. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Did Paul and Silas rejoice in the Lord always? In Acts 16, after getting beaten with the whips and put in stocks and put in a jail and not knowing whether he was going to live and die, at midnight they sang praises unto God. I don't know. I've said this before. I fear if I'd have been Silas, Paul would have been singing a solo, don't you? Rejoice in the Lord always. Remember, God always... Remember, all things is going according to God's plan. Number five, remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. You got the grief. If you're born again, if you've trusted Christ, you're never alone. Great hymn we sing out of the Brodnum hymnal. was never alone. He's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. You're not alone. And guess what else? He knows exactly what you feel like too. I can't always know what you feel like. Your Master always does. I get a lot of joy in knowing that. You can't really say no one ever knows, because Christ always knows. And you never face anything alone. As I said, at this time, it's sometimes the most loneliness of seasons for people that are already lonely. But when you remember you're not alone, and that the King of Kings is in your house, and you need to enjoy His presence, and you can. And if you do, you'll enjoy the seasons. What number are we on? I put down letters. 5 or 6? This is 5? Okay. Be filled with the Spirit. Do be filled with the Spirit. Now, everyone that's born again is sealed with the Holy Spirit. He took up His abode in your heart. Today, you are saved. The idea of being filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Book of Ephesians 5 says, "Be not drunk with, but be filled with the Spirit." It means be under the influence. When someone's drunk with wine, we say that they're under the influence. Wine's controlling them. Alcohol's controlling their talk and their actions, their walk, everything. But when you're filled with the Spirit, He's controlling you. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, temperance. All these type of things that we want, is it not? Don't you want joy? Joy is a result of being filled with the Spirit. How do you feel with the Spirit? You let the Word of God dwell in you richly. As the Word of God dwells in you richly, the Holy Spirit takes His Word and fills you with it. And fills you. Have you ever had that happen to you in a church service? Or maybe you're studying the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit opened them up to you and you see great spiritual truths and He speaks to your heart through His Word and you're just filled with joy? That's being filled. The problem is a lot of times what we do is we spend the holiday season in the flesh. And we blame it on the season, but really it's our own fault because we're in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. Number 6, and this is the last one. Serve others. Do serve others. It is more blessed to give than receive. Not only in gifts, but in time. Serve others. Talked to a fellow one time, and his traditional family Christmas fell, for say, I'll go ahead and use my family, it fell plumb apart. I mean, he had these big expectations, and there's a big fight in his family, and he was going through another personal problem, and it just, he had a nervous breakdown. He just started sobbing uncontrollably, just fell apart. So he left the house. This is on Christmas Eve, and he left his house, left the family there, and went and got in his vehicle, took off driving fast. Well, he told me, and he was driving, and he thought, "I will take this vehicle, and I'm going to run it right in this telephone pole. And I'm going to end." He wasn't rational in his thinking. And people get to thinking that way, they're not rational. "I'm just going to then pass the telephone pole," and he said, "Well, here's a bridge. I'm going to drive it off the bridge." That tore up. Well, he went on down the road, and this is a true story, as told to me. And he went by a friend's little single room apartment. And that particular man, he didn't have his own home. You remember, it was Christmas what? Christmas Eve. He didn't have his own home. He didn't have no family. And he was all alone. And this old boy, as he's driving, he's seen this guy's light on. And this is a good friend of his. You know what he did? He had a good thought. He said, "You know what? He's by himself, and he'd probably appreciate me stopping by." His whole thinking stopped. He started thinking about, for a second there, he got his focus off himself and his problems and his scare, and he got his focus on somebody else. And he stopped. And he went in, and the guy was just sitting there, and he went on in, and he's glad to see him. Of course, because there wasn't nobody there. He didn't have nobody. He didn't have no family. No kids, no nothing. And he, of course, tickled to death to see this particular man. He sat there, and they talked about the Lord. And this man that lived in the little one-room place talked about how good God was, how great heaven is, and how good God had been to him. And here's a man that came out of a big home, family all gathered around. And it raised the rejoicing, and it raised his focus, and he started thinking differently, and he wasn't thinking about driving his vehicle into a post no more. And ended up being one of the best Christmases he ever had because he thought, I'm going to stop and help this guy. And that guy helped him. True story. You see, serving others takes your mind off. Sister Sandy does the same thing. Her focus of Christmas is not herself, it's others. She stays busy. Work with those kids. See, all that love she's got as a mother, all of those kids received the benefit of that. One thing she did say that I think is worth mentioning tonight, and I'm winding up. She does, though, envy who her son's with and where he's at. Isn't that awesome? That's how you enjoy the season. It's not about trees and gifts and this and that. It's about Christ and what He's done, why He came. It's about that story of grace and love and what He's done for you. Mention this soon, I'm going to mention it again. You can lose your health in this life. Do you all agree? You can lose your health. I'm so thankful for my health every day. You can lose all your possessions, all you own. You can go belly up, or I guess you should say bankrupt instead of belly up. You can do all those things. You can lose everything you have. You lose your car, you can lose your home, you can lose all that. All that can happen. But you can't lose those spiritual benefits you have in Christ Jesus. Take it all away. Take it all away. You still have Christ. You still have your home in heaven. You still have your sins paid for. You are still a child of the King. And that's why Job, when he lost it all, said, naked came I from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I did. That's how you enjoy it. My prayer tonight for you is, if I could give you something, I'd like to give everybody sitting in those pews tonight a good season. And there's only one way I know to do it, is just tell you how. And that's how.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.